The United States maintains hundreds of military bases and other military facilities around the world. By many estimates, around 800, not counting active war zones. The idea is to have a local military presence to respond to crises and to protect the interests of the United States and its allies. But our next guest says these installations do more harm than good for American security and diplomacy.
David Vine joins us now. He's an associate professor of anthropology at American University. His new book is called Base Nation, How U.S. Military bases abroad harm America and the world. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we threw out a number there, but the question of how many bases can be tough to answer depending on what we're talking about. Can you give us an idea of the range of different installations the U.S. has around the world, from full-on bases to smaller outposts?
It can be hard to figure out. The Pentagon puts together a list of its bases around the world every year. And by the last tally, there were 686 bases outside the 50 states in Washington, D.C. But the Pentagon list actually excludes some well-known bases, and that's where I get to the 800 number. But you're right, there's quite a range between really city-sized bases that are full of schools and hospitals and housing and family members with tens of thousands of troops, to much smaller bases, including increasingly popular kind of bases called lily pad bases. These are popping up in parts of the world where the United States has not had a military presence ever, in parts of Africa, Central and Eastern Europe. And they typically have on the order of 200, 300 troops, often special operations forces, sometimes drones, surveillance aircraft, that hopefully gives you a sense of the range, as you said.
And to put this into context, how does the number of American foreign bases compare with those of other countries?
Yeah, I think that's important. I think most people in the United States, I was certainly one of them before I came to this story 14 years ago, most people in the United States have no idea that the United States likely has more bases, foreign bases, than any people or empire or nation in world history. Currently, the rest of the world combined has about 30 bases, 30 foreign bases, that is, among them. And Russia, Britain, and France have most of them, and a few other nations have a single base outside their own territory.
A lot of people might have thought, okay, the Cold War ended, a few decades ago now, and then we were going to maybe start closing up shop at a lot of our bases around the world. What happened?
That's exactly right. Most of these bases date to World War II, actually, and the early days of the Cold War. So they've been there for 70 years or more. We did close a large number of bases at the end of the Cold War in the early 1990s, downsized by about 60%. But we still maintain this base network that's basically about half the size of what it was at the end of the Cold War, because we've continued to build new bases, especially in places like the Persian Gulf, where we have a very large base infrastructure now in every Persian Gulf nation except for Iran. And actually, the total number of bases has shrunk from about 1,600 at the end of the Cold War to 800 now. We're in twice the number of countries, so the breadth of this base nation, as I describe it, has increased from occupying 40 nations in 1989 to about 80 nations today.
A lot of your book focuses on the idea that the presence of these bases ultimately may do more harm than good when it comes to security, America's reputation, diplomacy. For one point, do bases having foreign troops parked on your soil lead to anti-American sentiment in a lot of countries?
They do, in the book I try to show how these bases, while we've been told frequently that they spread democracy and ensure peace, those claims have just not been challenged. And I'm encouraged to say that there are people across the political spectrum who are now beginning to challenge and question the need for these bases, beginning with the costs. But the bases indeed do inspire quite vehement protest and opposition often. There's a range of relationships in Germany and Italy. There have often been very cordial relations between locals and troops. But even there, we've been seeing increasing opposition and protest in recent years, as well as in places like Okinawa, where there have been a very large protest movement since really horrific rape took place in 1995 as part of a much larger pattern of crimes and accidents that sadly U.S. military personnel have committed.
The entry point into this story for you was in the dislocation of local peoples, sometimes the entire population of islands, sometimes farmers near a base in South Korea, I think, people being removed from their homes. How common has that been in establishing or expanding American military bases?
Displacement has been another of the clear patterns, that is, local people being displaced as part of the creation or expansion of U.S. bases overseas. And indeed, that's how I came to have my eyes opened about this huge network of bases around the world when I was introduced to the story of Diego Garcia, a very small island in the middle of the Indian Ocean where the U.S. military has a very large and significant base. The only reason we have that base there is because in the late 1960s and early 1970s, the U.S. and British governments forcibly removed the entire local population and deported them 1,200 miles away, just dumped them in exile where they had no resettlement assistance. And the people have been living in exile ever since, struggling to get back to their homeland. And as you pointed out, they are far from alone. People know of the Bikini Islands where there was nuclear testing, but there are other examples, including in Okinawa and Guam, where people were displaced well after World War II. And in Okinawa, some of the people were displaced as far away as Bolivia.
We're talking to David Vine about his new book. It's called Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World.
And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think the United States needs hundreds of military outposts around the world to guarantee our security, or do you think we have too many? If you've been deployed to one of these bases or worked on them as a private contractor, what's your perspective? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with David Vine, author of the book Base Nation. He says that the hundreds of American military bases around the world aren't really boosting our security.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with our guest that we have too many military outposts around the world, that they aren't needed for American security? Or do you want to make a case that the U.S. needs a military presence in potential trouble spots around the globe? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And David, the value people say of these bases, they might deter aggression in one place. They offer the United States an opportunity to respond to a crisis in a trouble spot, whether military or humanitarian. Don't these bases provide some kind of value when it comes to our security?
Well, there are a couple things to say about that. First, there are alternatives to this, what I see as really an outdated military strategy. Given technological developments and the power of the U.S. military, the military can actually deploy its troops, its forces, from the United States to locations abroad just as fast or almost as fast as from any overseas base. So the strategic value of having troops permanently positioned overseas really is declined dramatically. And the extra costs, which are very substantial, bases overseas are much more expensive than domestic bases, really doesn't justify any marginal speed increase that you get by keeping forces and bases overseas. And when it comes to the deterrence argument, I think it's worth people in the United States thinking about how we would feel with a foreign base anywhere near the borders of the United States. For example, a Chinese base or a Russian base in the Caribbean or Central America or Mexico. I think that would lead to hue and cry for boosting U.S. military spending and generally to increase military tension. So, well, you know, while one base can be described as defensive and a deterrent presence by one power, you know, China, which is encircled by U.S. bases, sees these bases as entirely aggressive, and our presence has only encouraged China, my sense is, to increase its military spending and military power.
So would you say then that bases, it sounds like, are inspiring a kind of arms race and maybe could lead to more likely conflict in a situation like that?
Yeah, that's one of the real dangers I see, that the bases often increase military tensions, regional military tensions, and encourage, as you said, an arms race, and actually make war more likely. There's a danger of a self-fulfilling prophecy here, where there are calls for the U.S. to build up its military presence even further, even though we've had hundreds in East Asia. We've had hundreds of bases there for decades. There are calls to build up that presence to counteract the growing military power of China. My fear is that that is actually going to make war more likely as China builds up its forces, the U.S. builds up its forces, and the possibility of a really horrific conflict become more likely.
I want to dig more into the idea of the lily pad concept that you mentioned earlier. The wave of the future, it doesn't sound like, is the really big, sprawling complex that we used to see, especially during the Cold War. But with the lily pad, you had conversations with some people in the military who, very circular conversations, where they wouldn't call them a base or a military presence even of the United States. So how do these things work?
One of the reasons that lily pads have become increasingly popular is because the hope is that they will prevent the kind of protest and opposition we've seen in places like Okinawa. They are generally secretive in nature. Often they're located within a host nation base. And as you mentioned, the U.S. military personnel and diplomatic officials are frequently very... they very much do not want to refer to these bases as bases, that when in fact, in my mind, they very much are. There are a series of linguistic games that often get played. For example, actually, a long-standing base in Honduras has been called a temporary base for almost three decades now. And with lily pads, you see something similar, linguistic and legal efforts to disguise their presence. And in my mind, you know, while these bases may seem preferable to the giant bases that cost far more, first of all, these bases are putting U.S. troops in parts of the world and in conflicts that we know very little about frequently, in Africa, for example. And there's also a clear pattern that once a base is established, they tend to grow. They tend to, whether there's a need for them to be there or not. So there's a danger that a base initially portrayed as quite limited in size could become a much more significant base and a much more significant U.S. military presence over time.
You also point out that an American military presence of whatever sort can be a target. It can create the risk of targeting of American personnel by anti-American forces.
That's exactly right, and that's what we've seen in Afghanistan and Iraq, of course. But more broadly in the Middle East, we've seen that the presence of U.S. bases and troops has actually led to increased radicalization. So bases have been directly counterproductive. There's a correlation between the presence of U.S. bases and troops in the Middle East and al-Qaeda recruitment. So these bases, which were, again, designed for World War II and the Cold War, in the case of the dangers and threats facing the United States today, are really... counterproductive frequently, and as I mentioned before, also a tremendous waste of resources that could be dedicated to addressing the very many needs at home.
So you're making the case here in your book. Do you see leaders, political leaders in Washington starting to embrace this rethinking of the need for bases?
Slowly. You do see members of Congress beginning to rein in some of the really out-of-control military construction spending overseas. There was very little oversight and very little questioning when the Pentagon would come and ask for money to build new bases or expand bases. Members of Congress really didn't ask many questions. But in the last few years, there's some encouraging developments that have constrained the amount of spending. But still, we are, by my estimate, and a very conservative estimate, spending on the order of $85 billion a year keeping bases and troops overseas. And that doesn't even count the cost of bases and troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we still have bases and troops. And so if you include that, the total rises to around $156 billion. And again, that's a conservative estimate, so the real cost could be even higher. And I think it's, again, worth thinking about all the needs, infrastructure needs, school needs, needs in terms of our healthcare, our housing, that have gone unaddressed while we've built up this very significant, robust base infrastructure overseas.
That was the political level. Briefly, do you see any military rethinking on these bases?
I do, and this is another really encouraging sign. There are members of the military are also questioning this decades-old policy of maintaining so many bases and troops overseas. So you see the Air Force attempting to cut the number of bases abroad and similar efforts in other services. So there are voices beginning to question the status quo, and again they really are across the political spectrum and within the military itself. So I think there are good opportunities to close bases that are simply unnecessary. And my argument is not that tomorrow we should close all our bases overseas. Instead, the argument of Base Nation is that we should be looking carefully at every single base overseas and ensuring that it is absolutely necessary to maintain there.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's David Vine. His new book is Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World.